going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, Old Testament, this morning. We were there last week as well. So since the new year, we talked about prayer and other spiritual practices that will make your spiritual life flourish. And we don't think about planting quite yet. But you know what? I'm already getting my burpee seed catalog and emails telling me it's time. Val probably already has her plants already ordered, right? That is true, yes. And so it is time to be thinking about. But God wants us to flourish no matter what season of life we're in, spring, summer, winter, fall. They all serve a purpose in our life. In fact, they say trees, their roots grow, when do they grow the most? In the wintertime. See, up above, it seems like they're dead, but down below, they're actually growing. So sometimes the winter times in our life is when we grow the most. Amen? So today, I'm going to focus on chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. So you got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I don't know. You know, you have to kind of read Ecclesiastes with a grain of salt. Maybe is that the way to say it? Just because Solomon is at a period of his life where I think he's disoriented. He didn't follow God with his whole heart as David did. And he had married a bunch of wives. And those wives led him astray, okay, because they came from other countries that did not worship God. And so he gets to a place in his life where he has wealth, he has fame. He has intelligence and wisdom, but then he sees the end of all that and it's kind of like, wow, life is kind of meaningless, right? But in the midst of that, he does have some truth there. And so I think there is some great things to be gained in reading this. And there's a couple phrases, a couple verses that really jump out. We highlighted one of those last week, and we're going to highlight one of those today that just talks about, he says, God has placed eternity in our heart. Chapter 3, verse 11, he's placed eternity in our heart. What does that mean, that God has placed eternity in my heart and in your heart? We'll talk about that. So before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God that is living, it's active, it's working in our hearts and our lives. And so, Lord God, I pray in these moments, just give us your Holy Spirit to make it come alive to us, Lord. Help us to understand, apply it to who we are and where we are at in our life. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's read that together. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 13 is where we're going to begin. And it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So he's just kind of talked about time to be born, time to die, plant, uproot. He's talked about all these different seasons in life, okay? And he talks about the burden that God has laid upon the human race. So you can see the weight. Solomon has all this knowledge, but with that knowledge has also come, wow, there's just so much there. It's kind of like we get overloaded with the news and things like that, okay? It's that same type of thing that I think Solomon is feeling with all the information and all that he has. It's kind of like, whoa, it's just too much for him. And this is what he says in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time, okay? And he's also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people to be happy, to do good while they're alive, while they live, that each one should eat, drink, find satisfaction in their toil and their work. This is a gift of God. So what does Solomon mean by that God has placed eternity in our hearts? Okay? So if you kind of dig into it and look at the commentaries and those that know more than I do, the idea is that God has given us as human beings the capacity to understand eternal things, such as that there's a beginning and that there's an end, all right? I know some of you love your pets, you love them with all of your heart, but I don't think they understand beginning and end. They don't have that. Karen, okay, you're certain on that. All right, that's good. All right, they don't understand eternal things, but we do. We worry about the future, all right? And we sometimes are heavy about the past. We understand eternal things. Animals don't understand that. And so God has placed eternity in our heart, and I think that is the way that we are created in God's image, and that we understand those things. We have the capacity to understand those things. But with that ability also comes sometimes the weight of the world, because we understand those things. So in light of this, how should we live? Should we be depressed? Ooh, there's a good thing, huh? Should we care, not care about life? That's kind of like apathy. It's just kind of like you go through life and don't care about what's happening. Okay, you can do that. Drift through life. Should we be swept away by apathy? Even though Solomon talks about life being meaningless, a chasing after the wind, he does pass on some principles that I think I want us to look at today. So, you ready to take some notes? These are really deep, okay? Profound, okay? All right. First one, live each day with joy. Isn't that easy? Not. It's not. Think about that. Live each day with joy. I think that's what Solomon is saying. Hey, find happiness. Do what you're going to do and enjoy what you do for a living and your work. You can call it toil. Toil kind of has kind of like that, like you're dreading it. There's jobs I do dread and hate doing, okay? But I think you really should find work. I think work is part of God's economy, and that there is fulfillment that comes from work, even when you put out blood, sweat, and tears. Okay, we remodeled our kitchen, and I did all those, blood, sweat, and tears. I left my stains on the floor a few times with my blood. A couple good times. But there's that sense of accomplishment when you're done, right? You ever feel that? Yeah. I think that's from God. We find meaning and fulfillment from what we do. All right, live each day with joy. So that seems pretty easy instruction to follow, but man, it's hard to do. You following me? I don't know if I could do it for a full day. I could try. That's my goal. Do good to others. Find meaning in your work. If you were to survey your life, how many days have you lived with joy and happiness? And you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. How would people perceive you? Would they see you as somebody that has joy and happiness in your heart, or do they see you as the grumpy person? Right? Oh, they're grumbling or unhappy, right? Maybe some elbow nudging going on there. Okay. How do people perceive you? If you were to survey your life, have you lived with sadness, apathy, anxiety, discouragement? We all have emotions, and I think God gave us those for a reason. And here's a little secret. A lot of people have anger hiding within themselves. Did you know that? What are we angry about? We're angry at our lot in life. We're angry at the events of a day. We're angry at our lack of self-control and discipline. I shouldn't have ate that. I shouldn't have done that. And we get angry. We get angry at our failures and addictions. We're angry at others. We're angry at ourselves. We're angry at our world, people in our world. This is what I know. There will be good days and there will be bad days. That's part of living, right? There will be. And I don't think even if you're walking with God and walking in holiness, and, you know, I still think you look at all the great people in Scripture, they had good days and they had bad days. What I do know is that God will not keep you from those, but he will walk with you through those. Paul, servant of God, one of the greatest missionaries, he still had to be in a jail, right? Flogged. And there he was moping and groaning, right? Is that what he's doing? No. He was singing and praising God, wasn't he? And when he did that, the chains fell off, right? And the jailer gets saved. See, there will be good days and bad days, and it's easy to praise God and to have a joyful heart on the good days when things go your way. It is a choice on the days that it's not. Happiness is usually, we consider that being based upon happenings in our life. So when the happenings go our way, we're happy, right? Joy is a little more of a constant thing that is because of the Holy Spirit and God dwelling within our life. And we do have a choice. We have a choice to live with joy and not be weighed down by the cares of this world. The world will do its best to steal your joy. whether it's the events happening in your life, home, community, nation, or world. This is what Nehemiah told the people of Israel. They had come back from captivity, 70 years in captivity. God used it to deliver them from idolatry. He gave them a heart to follow after him as a, you know, him only. That's one of the commandments, right? Serve the Lord your God with your all of your heart. And there's only one God, two of them. They come back. They hadn't been in God's word because they didn't have access to it. They didn't have a smartphone. They didn't have a tablet. They didn't have one of these. Maybe they had some scrolls with them in Babylon. But they come back and Ezra reads the law. And as they hear the law for the first time in a long time, they just wept and they cried. It was sad. It was kind of like, because it was like they were hearing the words of God, many of them maybe for the first time. And Nehemiah says, hey, you know what? This isn't a day to be, this is a good day, right? And he says, this is what he says. Nehemiah told the people of God who were coming out of exile, and he tells them to eat and drink and to rejoice because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I think that's why joy isn't so important in our life, is that it gives us the strength to navigate even the tough days of life, to face those challenges before us with confidence and with faith. I think joy is a, you see that in the book of Philippians, and Philippi was a tough place for Paul. That's where he was thrown in jail. I think he had a lot of hurdles there to go through, but it's there where I think Paul realized the importance of having joy in his life and cultivating that in your life, in my life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the million-dollar question is, how in reality can we live each day with joy? So I got three things you can put under the subpoint. Worship God. Worship God. I think worship is very crucial for joy being happening in our life, to worship God. We did that this morning, but you can't take the RSC worship team with you wherever you go. Now, you can bring it up on your phone, car radio, turn on the Christian music, right? You can even sing, God loves your voice. I don't care if you're on tune or not. He doesn't care. Amen? Yes. Yeah. He wants to hear that. One of the passages we covered in our study in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, but 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 said that David, he's with the Philistines. It's just kind of an ironic thing. He goes there for safety because Saul's chasing after him. So he's living amongst the Philistines, the enemy of Israel. And they're going to go off to fight Israel. And so David is there. Him and his men are with him. And they're going to go fight Israel. It's just a weird thing. And the Philistine said, no way is David going to fight with us, because what happens to get in the heat in the battle? He turns on us. And so the king of Philistines sends David back. He goes back, and they go back to Ziklag, where they'd been living, only to find out that it had been burned. Their wives, their children had been taken, and Ziklag had been burned to the ground. And here David was this revered leader by them. They would do anything for David, and all of a sudden now they are at the place that they want to what? They want to stone him. David, it's your fault. Well, isn't that when you just love to be a leader, right? And they want to stone him. They want to kill him. And it says in that verse, 30 verse 6, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He found strength. He sought the Lord. They pursued the people that took them. They got all their wives and children back, plus all the plunder from them. God turned it for good. But in that moment, there was nobody there saying, hey, David, man, you're a great guy. You're a great leader. You're going to get through this. He found his encouragement from God, and I believe he probably began to worship God and seek God. And is in that moment that he had the strength to move forward. Worship God. Number two, pray in the Spirit. Corinthians talks about the gifts of the Spirit, of prophecy and tongues, interpretation, all those things. And then we have the joy of the fruit of the Spirit. But to pray in the Spirit, saying, God, come into my heart and my life, and just pray as he leads you in your life. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So that's found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You can go look that up later. But with that comes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all a product of the Holy Spirit, right? And your fruit trees bear fruit because that's what they do, right? When they're watered, when they're nourished, they produce. Your life, if you're abiding in God and the Holy Spirit is within you, it's going to be like, boop, there comes the fruit, right? There comes the love, the joy, the peace. It's going to happen because you've been abiding in God. You following me? Commit your cares to God. I don't know, Val, do you still have that up on your chalkboard? Psalm 37? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the weight of this world can be a little much, speaking from experience. The weight tries to squash the joy, the God desire we live in. Psalms 37, 3 through 6 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, or if you look at a literal translation, it actually means to roll onto Jehovah. I've quoted this before. But imagine that big boulder, right, that you have on your shoulder, that you're carrying. It's weighing you down. And you roll it onto his shoulders. That's what he wants us to do. That's what I had to do last night. Kind of like, man, I was preaching this, and it's like, trying to get to sleep. Got this email, middle to end of the afternoon, and it wasn't what I needed. Didn't help me go to sleep, I can tell you that much. And I was just reminded of who God is and that we can cast our cares upon him because he is a big, he's an almighty, he's an awesome God. That's the truth. Now, in the midst of that, we're still human. We're still human. Even Jesus, when he knew he had to go to the cross, sweat drops of blood. In our humanity, we feel that way. But God doesn't leave us in those moments. He's a big God, and we can roll our things onto him. Whatever those things, you have your things, I have my things. It doesn't mean that we're weak, we're anxious. If our joy is struggling, it doesn't mean that we're weak. It just means we're human. But the antidote for that is to worship him, to pray to God in the Spirit. Commit your cares to God. Roll them onto him, onto his shoulders. And I believe that joy is there. Amen? Live each day of joy. Man, that's such an easy point, but man, to live that out and to live it out daily, I think is a challenge. Okay, but I think it's a worthy goal, folks. I think it's a worthy goal. I think we've, personally, I know when I was younger, people said, oh, you have this great smile, and da-da-da. I want to keep that. I want to keep that joy in my heart and in my life. Amen? And you too. Number two, live each day with purpose. I think we get this from Solomon, that God is eternal, and guess what? You are not. You're not going to live forever unless, that gets to my last point. Humanly speaking, we're all going to die, right? We're born and we die unless Jesus comes back before then. Solomon describes our life as a vapor. Here one day, gone the next. Seems so brief. And you know, when you're young, I was there once. It seems like life is forever, right? And now you kind of get to the other side of things, and it's kind of like, well, you know, retirement isn't that far away from me anymore, right? And it's kind of like, wow, life just goes by so fast. Goes by so fast. And because of that, we should live each day with purpose. I just, to know what God has wired you to do, time moves on whether you do or not. We only have so much time on earth, and I think when we're young, we think we got all this time to squander, to use. But the older you get, it's kind of like, you know what? The clock is ticking. And I better make use of the time that God has given me and to live each day with purpose. Amen? Are you going to waste it, or are you going to make every moment count? There's a quote. This is very spiritual. I apologize. It is very spiritual. No, it's not. But Jack London, he was an activist, okay? And I probably wouldn't have known him except for I watched James Bond movies. Okay, I'll say that really softly. You only live twice and no time to die. But there's a quote at the end. James Bond dies, right? And there's this quote, just kind of pops. Said, they quote Jack London in this movie, and it says, I'd rather be ashes than dust. I'd rather that my spark should burn out as a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. The proper man of function is to live, not to exist. You catching that? There's too many people in our world that are just existing. They're going through life, allowing life to happen to them and going through life, but they're not living. You live by knowing what your purpose is and what God has called you to do. Doesn't mean that every day is easy. It just means that your life has focus, it has direction, it has passion, it has drive. I think one of the huge regrets is not discovering your purpose and your passion early in life. I think the sooner you can find that, that's why we do a giftings class, is to help discover that, right? Some people, I think, know it really early on in life, and I envy those people. Passion and involvement, that was the value we hit. Find out what that is. What has God called you to do? How has he wired you to do it? All right? The older I get, the more amazed I am at the people in their retirement years that are still coaching at a professional level, that are leading large companies. Think about it. Warren Buffett just turned over things to whoever, another guy. You know how old Warren Buffett is? Anybody know? 95. Why? He didn't need the money, folks. But yet he was still staying engaged. He was still involved. There's some coaches out there, professional football, basketball, whatever. They could be retired. Money is probably not the issue. Why are they doing it? Because they still love what they're doing. One guy on Get Up in the Mornings, ESPN, says, you know what? I think he could be retired. He was a professional coach. Rex Ryan, he says, you know, he goes, retirement is overrated. He wants to be still doing what gives him zip and drive. This is what Moses says. Psalms 90, verse 12. He says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. To number our days, I think there again, it's just talking about purpose, that we're intentional about how we live our life. And there probably is a lot of margin of flexibility there. Some people are, you know, like it's just like down to the minute and the second, and other people it's just kind of like it's in parameters, okay? But I think it's the idea of living our life with purpose. Teach us, God, to number our days. And to live it wisely. Amen? Live each day with joy. Live it with purpose. This is the last one. Drum roll. Live each day in the light of eternity. What do I mean by that? So if you're in Ecclesiastes, go to the last chapter, chapter 12. And this chapter always stands out to me. And I think there's a couple ways that we could approach this, live in the light of eternity. This is what I just felt impressed when I was here last night praying. It says, remember your creator. Okay, God, he's the one that created you, formed you in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. There will become a day where, you know, you used to do your hobbies and your things like that, and all of a sudden, either you've lost the ability to do them, it just doesn't bring you the zip and the drive that it once used to. That day does come, unless God takes you home early. Verse 2, before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars grow dark. I don't think that's talking about the end times. I think it's talking about what happens when you get old. Your eyes start to get dark, don't they? The clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, When the grinders cease before they are few. What's the grinders? Grinders cease. What is that all about? Is that the mill over here? Right? Grinding away. You hear it? No, it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about your molars, right? They grind your food, right? What happens when you get older? You lose your teeth, right? Right? That's what it's talking about. There is going to come a time where you, some of you are a little bit farther down the road than others. All right? The grinders cease and become few, yeah. And those looking through the windows grow dim, right? So there's that idea of vision. You lose your vision. When the doors to the street are closed, and this doesn't really literally mean that the doors are closed to the house. It just means that you no longer have the ability to get through the door to do what you want to do. Those days come, right? The sound of the grinding fades. Ooh, some of you got hearing aids on here, right? And all the songs, and when people rise up to the song of the birds, but not all the songs, now their songs grow faint. You can't hear them. When people are afraid of heights and the dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms. What color is almond tree blossoms? Anybody know? White. He's talking about getting your gray hair, all right? All right? And this is my favorite. The grasshopper drags itself along. You ever seen the grasshoppers dragging themselves along in fall? Right? They're at the end of their life, right? They happen in the spring and they hop around. And all of a sudden you get to that time, it gets cold and the frost starts and the freeze starts happening. And then you die, right? You drag yourself along. And no, and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go to the streets. This is verse 6. Remember him, referring to God, remember him before the silver cord is severed. So there's some metaphors here. We've been, a lot of metaphors, but you have, the picture is of a silver cord holding a precious golden bowl, which symbolizes your life and my life. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl falls to the ground and is broken. There will become a time before the precious pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel is broken at the well, before things wear out and the dust returns to the ground where it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Remember God. So where am I going with all this? Live in light of eternity. We're all going to die at some point and meet our maker. Okay, I know this is really encouraging for the last point, right? What'd you learn today? Oh, we're going to die. Woo! I know you're going to be excited about that. But here's the deal. At some point you will, and you need to know that your relationship with God is right. Okay, you know the one that is able to give you eternal life and that is eternal. And we're all going to have to appear before God and give our account for how we lived our life. Did we know God? Did we accept him as our Lord and our Savior? Did I do my best to glorify him? And one of the things you learn from Ecclesiastes is to be in the moment. I want to be in the moment, but I don't want to live for the moment. There's a difference. To be in the moment means I am present with people when I am with them. How many times have you been with people, whether it's family, with friends, you're there in body, but your mind is someplace else. It's thinking about this thing, about that thing, right? You're not in the moment with people. I think from Ecclesiastes, from Solomon, learn to be in the moment with somebody. That you're giving them your full attention. You're locked in where they are at, laughing with them, feeling their pain, just part of their story. Life's too short. Some of the things that have going through our mind are never going to happen. We don't need to be worried. Be in the moment with people, but don't live for the moment. What does that mean? It means that sometimes we live for the moment, for the thrill, the excitement, and that usually a lot of times takes us down a bad path. It's fleeting. It's short term. Be in the moment, but don't always live for the moment. Living for the next high, for the next buzz, just usually isn't very productive in our life. This is what Solomon closes out Ecclesiastes 13 and 14 of chapter 12. Now that all that has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or bad. Fear God boils it down. Musicians, would you come? You know how this should impact how we live our life, our time, our talent, our treasure. I want to enter heaven and meet my Lord and Savior. I want to hear, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful with what I've entrusted you. Some of you, God has just blessed you with a lot of gifts and talents, way beyond what God has given me. Use it for his glory. Some of you, you look at your life and say, God didn't give me much, right? Have you been faithful with what he has given you? That's up to God. God isn't expecting you to be somebody else. He's expecting you to be the best version of who you are. Life is not fair. If you didn't know that, you're hearing it. And it's like a vapor. Here one day and gone the next. Whether your perception of life is that it's meaningless or meaningful is largely dependent on how you live each day. I think if you live it with joy, with purpose, in light of eternity, it can be very meaningful, very exciting. Is it going to be perfect? No. There's going to be days that are going to be hard. But there will be a joy and there will be a purpose there, a fulfillment. That's my prayer for each one here. One, that you know God, and that you live each day with joy, purpose, and the light of eternity. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I don't know, I just sensed as I was praying here last night, came up, had a full day, came up here last night just to check on things. I usually try to do that. Make sure things are ready to go for today. Just seeking God, but I don't know if somebody's watching or somebody is here. You just don't know. You just don't know. If God took you home right now, would you be in eternity with him? Do you know him as your Lord and your Savior? You know, I think scripture is clear. You can know. There's a lot of people that go through life and they don't know, have I done enough? And they're basing it on their works, right? I don't know if I've done enough. I think I've done more good than bad, so God's going to bring me in. But scripture, works flow out of our relationship with God. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are saved, that we have a hope in him. By inviting Christ into our heart and our life, making him our Lord and our Savior, scripture says you will be saved. It's more than just a prayer. It is living our life for him, but we can know. Amen? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I do this every Sunday, so join in. And if that's you this morning for the first time, I want you to come just say, hey, that was me. That was me. We want to help you on that journey. And so let's pray together, saying, dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me and make me pure. And walk with me each day of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, you've placed us on this earth. We don't know what our time is going to be. It's going to be days, weeks, years. One of our pastors, credentialed ministers, their granddaughter, lived 30 minutes. This world. It's not very long. And others live to be into their hundreds. Lord, all we know is that there's a time that life comes into this world and there's a time that it's taken away. And in these moments, Lord God, you've allowed us, you desire that we are light. And Lord God, my challenge today to all of us is to live with joy, live it with purpose. And live it in the light of eternity as we fear God and follow him. you're going to go before us. And we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of Christ in our heart and the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you the thanks. Just worship him together in these moments. He won't fail you, amen? And that's what God was just reinforcing with me last night. So what do you need to, what are you carrying? That big boulder, what's in it? And what do you need to roll onto him today? What is it? Father, this morning, we live in a world that's not perfect. It's fallen. There's sickness, there's evil. It's part of the curse. But God, you've given us a hope in Christ, and you've planted that treasure deep within our hearts to show that the surpassing greatness is not from us, but it is from you. And even through our imperfections and even through our humanness, Lord God, the glory and the light of Christ can shine through. And so maybe this message was for somebody here today, but it very well could be for somebody that's not here today that you're calling us to be a blessing to. That there's somebody in our life that doesn't have the hope of Christ, and they're limping along, and they need the hope of Christ. God, you've placed us in their life for a reason and a purpose. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to be a light. And so, Lord God, go before us. Let us be the church. Let us live each day for you, Lord God. There's days we're going to have to fight for the joy of the Lord in our heart. We're going to have to do battle in worship and in prayer and spend time in your word. But it is there, Lord. It is there. It is ours for the taking. And so, Lord God, let us live each day with joy, with purpose, and in the light of eternity. Lord God, we give you the thanks and the praise. We ask it in your precious and wonderful name. Amen. Christy and Gary, would you join me up front real quickly? And if you need prayer this morning, maybe you just need somebody to agree with you. Maybe you have a health concern you just want. Concerned, they just want somebody to agree with you in prayer. They're here for a few minutes, and they'll pray with you. And I believe in the power of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave. If you see a new face, introduce yourself. God bless you this morning.